Chapter 14, The Way to the Cross. I truly enjoyed writing this book and pray it edified you. I can always be reached for questions and look forward to speak with those truly seeking Christ Jesus. With love for your eternal soul, I conclude with a gospel call, a bit more involved than the quote, sinner's prayer so many are used to. Read carefully. You may not have tomorrow and go to final judgment today. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, that there are only two roads to choose, the narrow road and the wide road. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 17 says, quote, "Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistle? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." End quote. But Jesus said many will choose the road that leads to spiritual death. Which road are you on? There are some things one must do to be sure they are on the narrow road, and apart from these there is no salvation but death. 1 John chapter 5 verse 12 says, "He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life." End quote. The truth is simple. Repent and forsake all your sins, and then get baptized. Through your free will and ability God has given you, in repentance you die to sin with Christ, and thus crucify your flesh. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, quote, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me," end quote. And your heart is made pure by faith working by love. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. "Seeing that you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever," end quote. Evidence of a saving faith is in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, which says, quote, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love," end quote. Now you obey God, cleansed, purged and scrubbed clean of all your overflow of wickedness and defilement. Galatians chapter 5, verses 24 and 25 says, quote, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit," end quote. Able to receive with meekness the implanted word that can save your soul. Romans chapter 6, verses 4 through 6 says, quote, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin," end quote. And James chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, it says, quote, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, but not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass," end quote. come sorrowing after the mercy of God, cleared of wrongdoing, by forsaking them all. Past sins, of course, never future sins. Romans chapter 3, verse 25 says, quote, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, end quote, and making restitution where necessary, vehemently desiring in your heart to obey him with great zeal and passion, presuming nothing, and plead for reconciliation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 21 state, quote, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we continue not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And he that died for all, that they which should live not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yeah, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth known we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, end quote. This is the model of redemption set forth in the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Verses 10 through 11 says, quote, for godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world works death. For behold this selfsame thing, that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yes, what clearing of yourselves, yes, what indignation, yeah, what fear, yeah, what vehement desire, yeah, what zeal, yeah, what revenge. In all things you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter, end quote. The true meaning of Bible redemption is release from bondage by payment of ransom. Listen closely. Matthew chapter 20, verses 28. Quote, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life as a ransom for many, end quote. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 through 6 says, quote, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, that man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, end quote. What Jesus did on the cross was not to take anyone's place, but to provide himself as a sin offering. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? End quote. To ransom man and to turn him from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. Acts chapter 26, verse 18, quote, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." End quote. Hence, the works of the devil are destroyed, and man can be restored to an upright heart. 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 through 8 says, quote, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Now the Bible makes sense. Deeds, which is works, fruit, meaning obeying his commandments, will be the deciding factor in your final salvation, not some mystical, quote, trust in an illusion. Romans chapter 2, verses 7 through 11 says, quote, "To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that does evil, every sinner, of the Jew first and also the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also the Gentile. For there is no respecter of persons with God." End quote. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17 says, quote, "And if you call on the Father, who without respecter of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." End quote. Professed Christians today are believing everything but the truth, simply because most of them have never been exposed to the truth, and it's very possible they are doing all they can to hide from it anyways. It's an unfortunate reality, however, that their belief systems have a very strong tendency to silence their conscience to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Thus, when they do hear the truth, it cannot cut them to the heart. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 says, quote, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" End quote. So that they would be motivated to repent. When a person is convinced that some form of doctrine is correct, it's almost impossible to persuade them otherwise. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 says, and quote, "And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness," had pleasure in sin, end quote. To them, the Bible supports their fallacies and absolves them from obedience. Given that the, quote, substitution model provides the perfect excuse for sin, there is not much of a chance many will escape its clutches and see the light before their time is up. If you believe in God and trust that Jesus is your Savior, you need to get this right. The foundation on which you stand should be deeply rooted in the truth. Don't rely on someone else to dig for you. Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49 says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Choose the right road. And remember, sin is a choice, not a disease we inherited or were born into. You must repent first. Isaiah 55, verse 7 says, quote, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon," end quote. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, end quote. Seek his mercy and get born again. You must die once to sin to be born again. John chapter 3, verse 3 says, quote, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, end quote. The Holy Spirit can now indwell you to produce good fruit and guide you into all righteousness and truth. Ephesians 5, chapter 18 says, quote, And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, end quote. Now, fear God, hope in his great mercy. Forsake all the dead things of this world and serve him to the bitter end. After you truly repent, get baptized by pouring to be ceremonial cleaned. A full study with a video of baptisms can be found here at eternalevangelism.com/how-to-baptize. Baptism for the unrepentant, those who don't confess and forsake all sin, is meaningless and simply makes one a, quote, wet sinner. Yet you cannot claim to be repentant, obedient disciple of Christ, and neglect his command to be baptized. As such, see Acts chapter 2, verse 38, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, etc. This is a key aspect of beginning to follow through on repentance. Yet if one still regards sin and is not following through on every aspect wherein they must be obedient to God's word, then baptism in and of itself has no value. Don't believe the hyper-grace false teachers that tell you all you have to do is pray a sinner's prayer to be saved. And don't believe the baptismal regeneration heretics that teach that the act of baptism actually saves one soul. It's the first work of obedience after you truly repent from all your sins and decide to live for Christ. You must pick up your own cross as God's love is conditional and endure till the end for final salvation, lest you fall away and perish. Are you ready to be hated by the world but loved by God? Matthew 10, verse 22 says, quote, And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved, end quote. John 15, 19 says, quote, If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of this world, but I have chosen you out of this world, therefore the world hateth you, end quote. To conclude, you must repent, live holy and biblically perfect for the one true God, who is Jesus, as you have breath here on this earth. Jesus will not cover you in your willful sin, no matter how much you say you, quote, believe in him. If you need to, and most do, I pray you truly repent and follow Jesus. I truly do. I am always here to speak with those who are genuinely seeking the truth. There is absolutely no hope after you take your last breath. Choose life, not death. To Jesus be all the glory. Amen. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, quote, And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. I am the founder and overseer of Global Mission for Children, a Christian ministry with indigenous missionaries in the third world. I also oversee Working Faith Fellowship, which are the churches on each mission field. Individual mission field websites are listed below. Join us in helping provide for these dear brethren that are on the front lines each and every day. All the glory to Jesus. You can always reach me at J. Miller, the letter J, last name Miller, at globalmissionforchildren.org. My teaching website is eternalevangelism.com.